So yeah, here's the passes. Avoiding any teleological approach. I'm not going to go down teleology. One could observe that this result was neither historically ineluctable nor coherently inscribed into a Marxist ideological pattern. The origins of Stalinism, nevertheless, cannot simply be imputed, as radical functionalism suggests, to the historical circumstances of war and the social backwardness of a gigantic country with an absolutist past. A country in which building socialism inevitably required reproducing the gruesomeness of primitive capital accumulation. Bolshevik ideology played a role during this Russian Civil War in this metamorphosis from democratic upsurge to ruthless totalitarian dictatorship. Its normative vision of violence as the midwife of history and its culpable indifference to the juridical framework of a revolutionary state, historically transitional and doomed to extinction, certainly favored the emergence of an authoritarian single-party regime. Multiple threads run from the revolution, or from revolution to Stalinism, as well as from the USSR to the communist movements acting across the world. Stalinism was both a totalitarian regime and, for several decades, the hegemonic current on the left on an international scale.
Yeah, that's a great passage, and that's so what sort of the way that Traverso guides us through these contradictory truths of history. He introduces one, and then he offers a corrective, and then he offers a corrective to that, and then he offers the corrective. Yeah. So at the beginning of the regime, he gives the once over, you know, he paints the litany of crimes that the Soviet regime perpetrated. And then he says, but while it did these things, it was not revolutionary. It was not counter-revolutionary. There's a passage on 409. So this is also leading us into sort of some of the historiography that is trying to do broad brushes with fascism and Stalinism. But basically, there is such a thing as revolutionary Stalinism. And it is, in fact, overcoming. It's not a restoration of the old regime. So it is not, in fact, counter-revolutionary. It is building a completely new society. One could even posit that, yeah, it's not this, like, you can't understand it psychoanalytically. and one could even posit functionally, according to your preference, Trent, that the modernization of the state could not, in fact, have been accomplished without something as brutal as collectivizing agriculture or some such, you know, horrible thing, unless you want to do counterfactuals with Bukharin or something. But
yeah,
and that also returns us to good Trotsky, whose idea that was to begin with. So
I really like how he says it. He says equally unsatisfactory and equally, I mean, because before that he's talking about totalitarianism and comparing the Soviet state to fascism and how that's nonsense. And I think it's so obviously nonsense, I don't even want to get to it. Maybe somebody else will. But so he says, equally unsatisfactory is the definition of Stalinism as bureaucratic counter-revolution or a betrayed revolution. Stalinism certainly signified a radical departure from any democracy and self-emancipation, but it was not, properly speaking, a counter-revolution. A comparison with the Napoleonic Empire is pertinent insofar as Stalinism consciously linked the transformations engendered by the Russian Revolution to both the Enlightenment and the tradition of the Russian Empire. But Stalinism was not a restoration of the old regime, neither politically or economically or culturally. Stalinism belonged to the process of the Russian Revolution. And he goes on, but...
Yeah, and this is what I was thinking of earlier. So the reason why this flattened totalitarian framework doesn't work is because it's unable, quote, it's unable to inscribe the Soviet regime into the historical process of the Russian Revolution. And it depicts the USSR as a static, monolithic system.
Yeah.
And this makes me think of a book I was reading about the ISO time that was definitely pushing against that orthodoxy, which was Moshe Lowen's The Soviet Century.
Oh, that's a good book.
And that is worthwhile for anyone interested in this notion of revolutionary Stalinism, which carries on these contradictions, you know, into the Second World War to great effect.
Yeah. I really liked his, it has universalism, humanism, and anti-colonialism. I'm not on that page right now. But yeah, one thing I really like about, I think it's really important that like he really emphasizes like a mosaic of communisms, like plural, versus like, I don't know, I have a list of like, I don't know, dialectics that I see in this book that we can get through later in the, when we're doing an overview. But as regarding this, I think like a dialectic he's definitely working through is like communism is like this like singular, pure, like possible state versus like communisms as like the multiple actualities that like the process of like making communism actual like will go through.
And whenever you actualize something, you betray it,
mm-hmm.
right? You betray the theory because that's part of... You can't actualize something. It's going to get dirtied. It's going to get it's going to be affected.
Terrified.
Yeah, because you're not introducing it into a vacuum. There's one brief passage I want to read before we go into anti-colonialism, just as a way of projecting us into this phenomenon you're describing. On verse 16, he says, Stalinism buried the October Revolution by extracting its social and economic strength from the profound changes introduced by the break of 1917, and it embodied, at least for a couple of decades, a message of liberation in the eyes of millions of people all over the world.